June, in the words of Oscar Hammerstein, is busting out all over. But in this particular June, theatrical bust lines turn out to be not precisely what they seem. On Broadway last week, playwright Doug Wright and his leading actor Jefferson Mays both picked up Tonys for I Am My Own Wife, a play about Charlotte von Mahlsdorf, a German woman who survived the Nazis and the Stasi, but who turned out to be a gay man in drag. Meanwhile, anyone even vaguely near Sheffield should drop everything and rush to see Anna Macmin's Crucible Theatre revival of Carol Churchill's 1979 classic Cloud Nine, a stunningly well-written play which puts serious cross-dressing, cross-casting and gender-bending sexual politics on the theatrical map. Or rather, on the British theatrical map, because France got there first. Pierre Carlet de Chambellan de Marivaux was born in 1688 and wrote almost 40 plays, many of which are absolutely crammed with cross-dressing, none more so than The False Servant, first performed 280 years ago and now revived by Jonathan Kent at the National Theatre in a new translation by Martin Crimp. Whereas some playwrights are primarily interested in ideas, Marivaux loved actors and acting. His plays offer up fantastic opportunities for the playing of ideas, nowhere more so than in The False Servant, with its central role of a rich young heiress, played here by Nancy Carroll, who, disguised as a young chevalier, accidentally meets Lelio, Anthony Carf, the husband chosen for her by her family. Using her male disguise, she decides to see what Lelio is really like, only to discover that he's actually interested in her dowry and plans to dispatch her to the country ASAP. Furthermore, he's already having an affair with the wealthy Countess, Charlotte Rampling, in whose house they all find themselves. Not content with that, Lelio persuades the Chevalier to woo the Countess. He will then discover their affair and win another tranche of cash because the Countess would have broken their prenuptial agreement. All very modern. And it's handled in a largely modern dress production from designer Paul Brown. Add in the conniving servant of the title, Adrian Scarborough, who switches allegiance for money, and you have a plot riven with deceit and duplicity and driven with avarice. And with me to discuss all of that and more are Heather Neal, Carol Waddis and Kate Bassett. Heather Neal, was this to your taste, all this cross-dressing? Did it make you cross?
It didn't make me cross. I thought I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was done brilliantly, especially in Nancy Carroll's performance. I thought she looked wonderful. She looked very boyish, and was very convincing. I'm not sure that I was convinced by the contact between her and Charlotte Rampling's Countess, however. The cross-dressing in that case maybe was left something to be desired, in that Charlotte didn't really seem to me to be showing any real erotic interest.
We'll save the Charlotte Rampling discussion for later. Carol, a quick thumbnail sketch, happy or sad when you left this production?
I was intrigued. I had quite a bit of taste in my mouth, actually. I think Marivaux is a very interesting scientist. I think he loves to put human beings under the microscope. In this production, we get the very last scene. We get all of the cast peering through the French windows at the Countess, who is crying not very convincingly. But you suddenly get this tremendous sense of mockery of kind of human life, human modes, human mores. And I just think Marivaux, there is a thought, isn't there, that Marivaux has really not been very well received in this country. But he's really one of the most exciting French playwrights of the 17th century.
What Carol describes there, interestingly, could equally well apply to Neil LaBute, who is a playwright much championed by director Jonathan Kent. Do you see a similar acidic tone and a sort of a complementary vision in this?
There's something quite dark and misanthropic about his plays. I mean, what I'm very interested in his plays is that they come from the commedia dell'arte tradition, which we think of as kind of clowning and fun. And then it turns into this alarmingly chilly, rather abusive society where people use each other and seem to have no morals and don't seem to care at all. I think I found this particular production less disturbing than Carol did. Perhaps I've been spoilt by Neil Bartlett's productions of other Marivaux plays, which I found darker and more intense, and I felt this was slightly halfway house, but very interesting and engaging, and actually, in retrospect, I've thought about it a lot. So it's sort of stuck with me as a play about sexuality and complex levels of identity.
Well, with that being borne in mind, how much do people feel that with Marivaux's fascination with acting and the business of acting, how much are the performances in this production holding on to those ideas of darkness and danger?
Well, you never quite know who is playing what role for what purpose. I mean, Nancy Carroll, I mean, the way that the subplot goes, it goes from one point to the next point, and with somebody like Nancy, the character that she's playing, who is the young Chevalier, she seems to be adopting so many different roles at the same time. And the same is true of all of them. You know, they will suddenly say, I will do this now, and they are telling the audience, and actually what the other characters in the play are actually getting is something quite different to what the character is telling the audience that they are actually doing. So you're getting a double play acting kind of going on.
Yes, this is why I think the set is so brilliant, because it's glassy and glittering and hard, but shallow, and everything is reflected and looks beautiful, but
it's in a very steeply really angled a hall of mirrors that Paul Brown's got.
Which people can look through, but look at themselves in as well. They can look at themselves in the mirrors, but you see people through glass quite often too.
This is absolutely a play about people overhearing and overseeing each other's duplicitousness. Was that absolutely then for you, Kate, not rich enough? That's what you seem to be saying.
No, I think it's very rich. I think it... I just think it could have been slightly nastier. I don't mean it wasn't nasty. There were some nasty moments, but they didn't always quite convince me. Mm. So, for example, there's a manservant played by Adrian Scarborough, who's a very good actor and has brilliant comic timing. And what's interesting is that he is the new servant of the Chevalier, the cross-dressed guy. And normally manservants are a sort of funny, loyal sidekick. And he's actually really abusive and basically says, I know who you are and you're going to give me sexual favours as a consequence in terms of blackmail. But I didn't quite believe the moment where he threatened her. And so there were moments like that where I just wanted that to be slightly more convincing. But with Nancy Carroll, I mean, I think she is very good, and she also stepped into the part at short notice. And there are some psychologically fascinating moments. So basically, she's pretending to woo the Countess, theoretically as a game or just as a matter of interest to see how her own suitor will behave in that situation. But she becomes increasingly horrible and ends up saying, you know, tell me you adore me. And the Countess doesn't want to, and she kind of forces... It's this almost sadomasochistic power trip. So, and psychologically, that's very, very interesting in terms of, you know, what's happened to her, how she's just spent being mistreated by at least two men, and that she's then playing this male role as a horrible man, and yet is being a horrible woman, and almost a worse woman, because she's a woman pretending, who will then just leave the Countess, you know,
in the lurch.
And die, yeah.
I would slightly, David, kind of concern from a lesbian point of view that kind of portrayal of woman on woman was such a nasty one that I actually got quite concerned, because you so seldom see that on the stage, and to actually have it portrayed in that kind of way with such a nastiness.
I don't think the play is unbalanced in that sense. Firstly, there's a psychological motivation for her behaving badly because she's been badly treated, and secondly, everyone's pretty horrible. I mean,
there ain't a nice person. And I think one of the virtues of that play is, sorry to draw the parallel again, but like Your Friends and Neighbours or In the Company of Men, the Labute films, it absolutely examines what that conscience-free behaviour is like, and manages to make it superficially attractive, despite the fact that Anthony Carper's Lelio is playing a revolting character who is mean-spirited at best. He still comes across as rather dashing and attractive, and you understand the motivation. And for me, watching Nancy Carroll turn really vicious and venal and nasty as she tries to woo Charlotte Rampling was difficult to watch, but that's its virtue. And by not soft-peddling it, it reveals some of the production's strengths.
Yes, she's infected by society too. You want her, to begin with, to win, to find out the truth, but she becomes one of them. And but I wasn't as convinced as you by Charlotte Rampling. I think that was why it didn't worry me as much, because she seemed to be so detached from what was happening that she was just too cool, I thought.
How do other people feel about Rampling's performance? Well, it's her stage debut in Britain. Yes.
She seemed very nervous.
I thought she was nervous, and she fluffed quite a few lines, and I think she was perhaps slightly unready.
I'm sure she'll improve, won't she?
Yes, and what I liked about her was she had this rather assertive, rather masculine manner. She came on in a sort of designer, 1940s maybe, trouser suit, and had a 30s probably, yes, and had a rather deep voice. And so there was a level on which you were thinking, oh, she's rather masculine too, and very assertive and aristocratic and expected her way.
But there was more than that.
And then
too,
had a vulnerability, and yes, that's what I liked.
That she was so cool when she first kind of comes on stage, and she's given a terrible lesson, isn't she? I mean, she's kind of made to say, yes, I worship you. So she starts off aloof and cold, and she's taught this lesson, basically, about getting emotionally involved, and then it's kind of flung back in her face, because the last person we see on that on that stage is the Countess crying.
I thought there was also earlier on seeded in her performance a kind of vulnerability about her age, in that she's much older and the boy she falls in love with is much younger, and I could kind of feel that yearning and that sense of insecurity that she had about that.
Go on.
I was just going to say I actually enjoyed Adrian Scarborough's performance very much. You were critical of him. I thought he was quite frightening, in that you didn't know you didn't know how much he knew, or at least in the position of the upper class characters, you didn't know how much he knew and therefore how much he could use against you. He was very funny to us watching him, and the way he's introduced, he's kind of one of us who goes onto the stage, and then he gets into the part, although he does show the programme at one stage, doesn't he? I wasn't sure about that, actually. It's a kind of
well, there's quite a lot of audience address. There's quite a lot of, look, I'm now going to tell you, the audience, exactly what I'm thinking. I won't tell anybody else on stage, but you are now complicit in the way that I'm thinking.
Yes, I'm one of you, and you're just as bad as
Crimp,
I am.
Crimp has added to that a bit.
Yes. Yes, although I did think his translation was very good and sharp and clear.
And not the first. Either first French play he's done, or indeed the first Marvel play. He did The Triumph of Love when Jonathan Kent was running the Almeida, which was directed by James MacDonald. That brings me to the point which has already been alluded to by Carol. There's a programme note, a very, very lofty programme note by Gilbert Adair, headed, Why Do the British Have a Problem with Marivaux? I'm not sure that the British do have a problem with Marivaux at all, but overall, do we think that Marivaux deserves his revival?
Yeah, I do, absolutely.
Yes, I was just wondering why he is so popular with us now. What is it about Marivaux that he is saying about his society, which obviously strikes such a chord with our own society and our own feelings about the battle in society, in our very mercenary, materialistic society, for moral values? Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. And his very dark view of what his society was like also echoes, as I say, some of the battles that are going on inside us.
The cynicism, I think, is very much.
I mean, I think what came across very clearly in this translation and production was the material greed and the lack of morals. And to me, that felt very modern.
The production is certainly very, very good at surface. Mark Henderson lights it with a lot of real candlelight, and this silvery, goldy kind of shimmer on the set does give you a very, very shiny surface that fits in with ideas of cynicism.
It also gets very claustrophobic, I think. I mean, it's very dark, it's full of shadows with that kind of, with those candles.
And it's a very tight stage space because you've got a very steeply angled wall sort of up right through the centre of the playing area. Mm. You're left with the characters being crammed in, fighting out their emotions in a very small space.
Can I just say something about the surface, responding to that comment about Adrian Scarborough? I think perhaps the one thing that made me feel it wasn't quite disturbing enough was that Nancy Carroll, rather interestingly, perhaps, kept up the surface. I never actually glimpsed her being troubled underneath. Not really troubled. Not really troubled by being asked to be sexually abused by her servant. Not really troubled psychologically. I didn't feel by her suitor being such a horrible man. And I suppose perhaps if I'd seen a glimpse of that, there would have just been a level of darkness that I would have found more interesting.
I mean, absolutely right.
There is a sense, perhaps, that this is a polar opposite production to that done by Neil Bartlett when he did his own translation of The Dispute by Marivaux, which was much slower. It not slow in the sense that it dragged, but it's as if he excavated all the space around every single line. This one goes for flow and speed, and Bartlett's productions somehow investigate the real darkness. I suspect that the reason why Marivaux hasn't been done much until relatively recently in this country is that the plays read extraordinarily badly unless you really give them time and notice how much is going on beneath the surface.
And I also think you could argue against my own point in that I'm not sure it's in the text very specifically in any way that the Chevalier character is deeply troubled, and perhaps it's more scary and disturbing if she actually isn't troubled at all but does what she does anyway.
Easily one of them, as it were.
Well, certainly enough to chew on for an audience. If you want a bracing intellectual and theatrical workout, head to The Full Servant at the National Theatre. Heather Neal, Carol Waddis, Kate Bassett, thank you very much.